Let's pray, okay? Father, God, I know what's in the notes here, and there's not enough, Lord. There's not enough. You gotta bring life to this, God. It's not enough. It's the old five loaves and two fishes thing. And I know we're hungry, and I know we've got needs, and I know we've got a job to do in the city. But Lord, here we are, Sunday morning, and you know what I've prepared, and I'm asking you, please, God, would you give this life right now? And would you take your word and bathe it in the power of your Holy Spirit so it becomes food for our souls? God, lightning in our energy level. Lord, truth, God, to combat, Lord, whatever, God, we're going to encounter. And Lord, overwhelming love so we're not afraid of anything, God. Because your word says perfect love casts out fear, God. Do all that, please, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Why, God, part four. I don't think it's a seven-parter anymore. I think it's an eight-parter. Because as I was doing the research, I had to change the title to what was posted in the last two or three weeks in the bulletin. And I'm choosing to go along with this. I know none of you are ever discontented, right? You never experience low times. Everybody's always happy, you know. You're like Bobby Papier. You're just like, you're always smiling, always on top of things. Everything's great all the time, right? Right? Okay. So, I know that's all of you, but I do know there might be one or two, okay? And you hide it really well, okay? And some of you have been serving God for a long time, and some of you are even struggling. Okay, I'm serving God. How come I feel like crap all the time? Okay? Bruce, you weren't supposed to put up your hand, okay? Come on. I'm trying to protect people's anonymity here, okay? And it might be there are some people that struggle with that, okay? So, and particular people that have followed the Lord for a while. Hey, look, you know the devil will come to you and say, what am I even doing this for? Why do I even believe, okay? I don't feel any happier than, you know, the person that was bragging about how much, you know, debauchery they were involved in over the weekend when I go back to work on Monday. So I want to deal with that, okay? And the first thing I'm going to do, I got a long passage for you here. A lot of you veterans have read this before, but I never make an excuse for reading Scripture. Scripture's top drawer, okay? Here we go, Ecclesiastes. Now remember, Ecclesiastes, this is a really confusing book in the Bible. People read this and go, what is this? You know, why is that there? Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, and it's written by Solomon when he was in a backslidden state. This guy was away from God, but he was still the wisest man in the world, okay? So you can be the wisest man in the world, you can, just like 1 Corinthians 13 says, you can fathom all mysteries, you can speak with eloquence, and, you know, there could be something missing. And there was something missing. Here's a guy that's richer than any of us will ever be, put together, and a way lot smarter, okay, and has way more power. I said to myself, come now, I'll test you with pleasure and find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guiding me with wisdom. I want to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects and built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me, and all this my wisdom stayed with me. In other words, I didn't lose it. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and all that I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Then I skip down a few verses. So, look at this, okay? Guy granted greater wisdom than anybody in the world, relationship with God, King of Israel, pinnacle of success. So I hated life. Nice, eh? Because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. This is a guy that has everything going for him. Most of the stuff that all of us desire and chase after, he already had it. By the truckload. And it's not bringing peace. I think most of you have read the stats and you know that wealthier societies, richer societies, have way more depression than poorer societies. You know why? Because they put their faith in that stuff, and when they get all that stuff and it doesn't bring joy, okay? Much higher suicide rates too, okay? In wealthier societies. The things we are told will bring happiness and fulfillment and meaning and billions of dollars worth of advertising. Super Bowl next weekend. I think the ad rates are $2.5 million for 30 seconds, okay? $2.5 million for 30 seconds. Oh, and they're fun commercials too, aren't they? I remember last year, was it with Tortilla? They did Tide commercials. They were the funniest things I've ever seen, okay? Why? Because they know if they make you laugh, they'll get you to buy stuff that you don't need. They'll get you to buy stuff that you're doing quite well without. And everybody in North America's got everything they need. So how do you keep the economy going when everybody's already got what they need? Simple. You spend billions of dollars on advertising so people buy what they don't need, okay? And it promises fulfillment. Oh, what a feeling. Toyota, you know, who builds excitement? Pontiac. And then they went out of business, okay? They try to appeal to these spiritual needs. Doesn't satisfy. Okay? People who follow Christ, maybe this is news to some of you new Christians. People who pour their lives into following Christ, they feel it too. Okay? Boast of my weaknesses, that's what Paul said. We pursue Christ, but we often feel we're just not getting it. Like the other person in the room. Well, they're together. Maybe if I could be together like them. It's not my notes, but I may as well tell the story. This guy goes into his doctor's. This is 1920s. 1920s Manhattan, okay? He says, I'm sad. I got a great job. I got a great family. I make all kinds of money. People love me. But I'm sad. Nothing ever clicks. And I've been living a lie. And the doctor says, you know what you need to do? Ringling Brothers Circus is in town at Madison Square Gardens. You need to go see Bozo the Clown's amazing, okay? He'll make you laugh. You need a good laugh. He looks at the doctor and says, you know what's coming here? I am Bozo the Clown. Okay? That's a true story, okay? So how do we handle how do you handle not having it? Okay? We either believe it is still out there, or there's no it. That's how everybody handles it, Christian or non-Christian. We still believe there's an it that we can possess, or we've given up on it, and we just kind of make do with the fact that there's no it. Okay? Now, let me get into this a little bit deeper. Okay? First of all, we usually, before you get old and cynical, you believe that it. You believe that it's still out there. And when you're young, okay, you kind of believe in your dreams, okay? All I need is the right mate, the right job, and enough things, and I'll be happy. Most people in their 20s, you know, teens, maybe way right up to their 40s, you know, believe that, okay? Of course, you know, I'm restless, I haven't done all the things I want to do, and if I can just get over this hill, or this task, or this assignment, and this trial, and everything else, everything's going to be good, okay? It's going to happen. I just got to get over this, and you know, it works short term. It works short term, a little bit. But then we soon discover how short term it is. And as soon as we get over the hill, oh, there's another hill. And this one's bigger. Ooh, that one's got rocks on it. And I don't have four-wheel drive. Then you're looking at that part. So when you come to the point where, you know, getting everything, and we still believe there's an it, but then we might slip into getting resentful. That's quite common. You know? Happiness hasn't come, so we get resentful. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm a victim of circumstance. We start playing the blame game. We can give you all kinds of reasons why this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. So we try to right the wrongs of the world. maybe through activism, maybe through working for justice. And that could work too, but then we discover that it's short term. You know, there's still... And some people stay in the resentful stage forever, but other people, they go on to being driven. You know, I'm going to make this work, even if the odds are against me. I'm going to make it work. And we bring God into that, okay, because we believe he can do everything, so I'm going to go for it. I'm an elephant. I can climb that road because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? And we're driven. Got to succeed. Well, Ecclesiastes, you look at the success, you know. And he hated life. We need more and more and have to achieve more until we are socially, emotionally burnt out. Empty. But we still believe there's it. It. So it goes from resentful and excuses to now we're just despairing. Okay? It just crash and burn, man. There must be something wrong with me. I'm a failure. Don't put your hand up. Don't put your hand up, please. How many have ever felt like a failure? Don't nod to me. Don't put your hand up. Yeah, okay. I'm a failure. I didn't get it right. You look hard enough, you can always blame yourself. Always, always, always. I missed it somewhere. So, often when you're at that point, the next step is, there was really no it anyway. Even if you're serving the Lord, well, I guess, you know, it's all about suffering and all about identifying with Christ's suffering, and that's my lot in life, okay? And we get to the point where there's no it. So, people that don't even know the Lord, how many know the term altruism, okay? There is no it. There's no it. So, altruism, the meaning, the principle or practice of unselfish concern for or devotion to the welfare of others. Charitable organizations are filled with people who don't believe there's an it there, so I'm just going to make the best of what is in my life, okay? Often, you're, and this is what happens here. I mean, thank God for people that are altruistic because a lot of good work can get done. However, often that generosity is just another way to build up your ego. I mean, look, I tell you about how much fun I have at OIM. I get more out of it than they do, okay? Now, what do I do with that? Maybe I'm doing that just to build up my own ego and feel good. It's possible to do that. There's a lot of good work that gets done, and it's a good thing. But there are people, if that's the real reason, just to get what they want to get out of it, they're going to burn out too, okay? There's no it, so I'm going to fill that hole with, you know, this stuff that I'm doing. Friedrich Nietzsche, fine follower of Jesus. No, he's the guy that came up with God is dead, okay? This guy, total atheist, but brilliant man. Very smart. Modern people help the needy out of a sense of superiority. Can you see a lot of that? You know what that's like, okay? Oh yeah, we gotta help. One of the best things that's happened since this thing has started, and I'm spending way more time with people that need Jesus, you can't call them poor people anymore. Not because that's politically incorrect, but because they're your friends. They're not poor, they're my buddies, that's my crew, you know? And you identify because that's what Jesus said, you know, where when you're done on the least of these, that's me right there, okay? And God, if you're fueled by the Holy Spirit, will flush that moral superiority nonsense out of your, and it's a good thing when he flushes it out. It's a good thing. But some people never have that flushed out, okay? Sometimes they use the needy to establish their own self-worth. And there's a danger here. If the help is not received, okay, from the people that are receiving it with respect and gratitude, people that are needy are not stupid. They can see through that. They really can, okay? And there's disdain there, and there's contempt, and there's a break in trust. So that's the first way people deal with, okay, there is no it, so what am I going to do? Well, then this is quite common, and you see this in media like crazy. And boy, you have people in that you work with, people slip into cynicism, okay? Who cares, you know? World's going to hell anyway, you know? They've lowered their expectations. Sounds sensible, right? But there's a problem. You can very quickly feel superior to people who aren't as ironic, as sophisticated as you. They haven't sized things up as you, and if they're still believing, you think, yeah, well, you're a moron, okay? You wouldn't say that, but that's what it's at the heart often of cynicism, okay? And it's just a nice candy coat on self-righteousness. Cynicism is self-righteousness. I'm cooler than you. I'm smarter than you. I got a handle on things better than you do. Okay? That's cynicism. Okay? There's one philosopher that said to be human and not an animal is you desire joy and meaning and fulfillment. If you decide it isn't there, you harden yourself to heart, to hope. You get hard. You get hard. Just like that, those verses I put up there a couple weeks ago that said, people turn into what they worship. And if they don't worship God, man, there's a lot of weird things you can turn into. And you get cold and you get hard and you dehumanize yourself. One of the reasons why God said, don't have any other gods before me, because he knew that every other god that you worshiped outside of him would take something from you. Take some of your soul. Harden you up. The only safe thing to ever worship is the Creator himself, because we become more like what and who we worship. And if you're becoming more like Jesus, that's on a good track, okay? One more, people who say there is no it. And it's detachment, okay? Nothing gets, they could be hit by a lightning bolt, doesn't matter. Nothing gets through anymore. Detachment. Greek philosophy of Stoicism taught that. You know, just be cool, chill, you know, everything, nothing gets to them. Buddhism teaches that. At the core of Buddhism, you've got to detach yourself from all reality, and that's the only way you're going to find peace. And there's a bit of a lie, a truth there. The truth is that nothing's going to bring you peace, but totally detaching yourself from it, that's not going to bring the solution either. Okay? And it's very popular at the core of meditation. Most meditation is emptying yourself and detaching yourself from everything. And what people don't know, if you get into forms of meditation, you can open yourself to spiritual forces like you would not believe. Spiritual forces that you cannot deal with outside of the power of Jesus Christ. And they're subtle. And they're quiet. And you may not even know they're there for decades. Okay? But nevertheless, it's there until their presence is made aware through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Very popular. Detachment is very, very politically correct. But it dehumanizes you too. It hardens you. We want something that nothing in life can give us. If we pursue it, we get resentful, driven, we get self-hating, we get cynical. And if we ignore it, we get hard, cold, and lifeless. Just like, and we put this quote up a lot here, don't we? There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only God the Creator made known through Jesus. Blaise Pascal, brilliant mathematician, way ahead of his time, okay? That's what's going on. I'll give you a couple more quotes, what's going on. St. Augustine, all things are precious because all are beautiful. But what is more beautiful than he? Stronger they are, but what is stronger than he? If you seek for anything better, you will do wrong to him and harm to yourself by preferring to him that which he made when he would willingly give himself to you. That's St. Augustine. C.S. Lewis. Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger. There's food. A duckling wants to swim. There's water. Humans have sexual desire. There's sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. It's evidence of our eternity. A lot of facts, a lot of philosophy, a lot of stuff, even scripture. So you know what happens when you get in the middle of a message like this. You're supposed to ask, great, got to go to work tomorrow, John. Live in the real world. Come on. Bring it home, buddy. The solution is not to detach yourself from pursuits of life. The solution is simple. And no, you haven't heard it all before. Man, that can bar so much joy in your life. You can prevent so many wonderful things happen in your life by taking a stance, even giving in for a second. Yeah, I've heard that all before, okay? The solution is to love God more. Well, I'm already a Christian. If you're answering that way, I'm telling you right now, you don't know God like he can be known. Okay? Because if you really know God, the first thing you know about God is, oh my God, there is so much to him that we have not touched yet. He may have touched you enough to let you know, oh, there's more. There's so much more. There's so much more. Love God more. It's not that you love your family or job or it's not that you love your family and job and stuff and dreams too much, okay? I'm not coming against those things. It's that we love God so little in relation to them, okay? Nobody loves God perfectly. You thought I did, didn't you? Oh, you. No, we didn't, John. Don't inflate yourself. I know. Okay. Nobody loves God perfectly. I got that, okay? But to the degree that you move toward loving him supremely, things begin to fall into order. They do. Okay? Into their proper priority in your life, your money, your work, your relationships, your accomplishments, your pain, your hurt, your failures. None of all that stuff can fulfill, but they can become what God intended them to be in your life, because all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. Really love God. And to the degree that you love God, it sets in order all the things working good in your life. Okay? None can fulfill, but they become what God intended them to be. Reflections of His goodness. I can thank God for my Toyota Yaris. Hallelujah! I can thank God for my marriage. I can thank God for my job. I can thank God for my relationships. I can thank God. Oh my goodness. You stay all pay, spend all day thanking God. Because you see them as reflections of how good He is. But what about the bad stuff? Well, I don't know about you, but there's lessons I have to learn. And I'm a slow learner. So DG does allow stuff to happen because I fail to. And that doesn't mean all the bad stuff happens because you've done something wrong. Jesus promised there'd be bad stuff. But what did He say? He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What good is that? No good if you don't love God. No good if you don't have Him there. If He's overcome the world, He's over there overcoming the world, and He's distant from you, and you don't know Him, you don't have that overcoming. You don't feel that in your life. The answer is to love God more. Okay? Attachment to Christ simplifies, okay, and it amplifies, okay? Attachment to Christ especially amplifies and deepens your enjoyment of the world. Oh, you thought I was going to preach separation from the world, holiness, can't do this, can't do that. Yeah, look it. Paul said, everything's permissible for me. Oh, some of you are going to take that and ruin your lives with that. But then he says, but not everything's beneficial. Okay? We have the wisdom of Christ. Okay? And when we love, when we know God is everything, and we don't just say it, when He captures our heart, when He gets our attention, when we heard His, when we heard His name spoken, not in vain, but we hear His name in a conversation at work where you don't normally hear it, it perks our ears up right away. You know? Moms are like that. They can hear you talking about their kids through two brick walls, man. As soon as you hear about the, oh, got your attention right away. Okay? When you hear, why, when, and I'm using the illustration, when you hear the word Jesus and you perk up right away, why? Because He's, you love Him more than anything. He means more to you than anything. I mean, I might have an opportunity to talk about Jesus at work, you gotta be kidding me. So you're looking and you're searching, you're going, God, oh God, oh God, oh God, you know? And you do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Probably just a smile, you know? Or whatever, I don't know how He's gonna lead, okay? The solution is to love God more. It amplifies, it deepens your enjoyment with the world. Learn to love God more, and you'll love other things with more satisfaction. Okay? I can't get no satisfaction. Because you don't know Jesus, Mick, you dummy! Okay? That's why. Okay? Everybody's knocking themselves out trying to be content, and we've got the solution. We love God more. He is the source of all things. All good things come from the Father of lights. That's what He says. And if there's something in your life that He hasn't come, it's probably not good. Because only the good things come from Him. And the discernment lets you tell the difference. We won't have, listen, if you learn to love God more, you'll love other things with more satisfaction. You won't have false expectations. And you won't overprotect what is yours. Because you see it as from God. You won't be furious when life is life and it turns out way different than you thought it would. Because you're in love with God. Okay? What do you think Jesus meant when He said, lose your life? This is what He's talking about. Lose your life. Let your affections, Colossians says, let your affections be set on the things above. God doesn't want us walking around like airheads, stumbling into things. Okay? Set your affections on things above. Why? Because that's where fulfillment is. That's where contentment is. You've got a God-shaped vacuum. You're going to keep banging your head in the wall. You're not going to get... That is the it. God. The it is God. The it is our love relationship with Him. That's what He says you're going to find it. That's how you find life. Okay? How do you learn to love God? Man, alive. You will never love God if you never... Listen, this is tough. A lot of you, this is going to frustrate you. But you will never learn to love God if you don't get a grasp on how much He really, really, really loves you. And most of us don't know how much God loves us. Most, especially people raised in the church. Pentecostal churches, oh my goodness. Oh yeah, oh man. never really good at the, you know, the whole. Rules were created so that, you know, the pastors and the parents could get to bed early, you know, and not have to deal with problems. Okay? See, if you really love, you're going to have to deal with problems. You people that, you know, have kids, you know what that's like. If you really, oh man, doesn't matter how much you love, you're still going to have problems. Okay? Gotta get a grasp on how much He loves you. Let's look at the Word. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, I'm not giving you bread. I am the bread. Okay? You're never going to, what does that mean, never be hungry? You're going to be content. You're not going to be searching. Something's missing. You're going to be full. Okay? He says He is it. He's it. Don't labor for food that spoils. Okay? Anything outside of labor for Christ, it's not going to bring fulfillment. And I know this is a metaphor. Okay? He will give strength. He will give sustenance. He doesn't say He's the dispenser of life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. Why do you think He says in communion, this is my body broken for you? Okay? Because we fail to love God and our neighbor, okay? Because we fail to love God and our neighbor, we sin. God's not fooled. So God became human and paid the price for our sin. Okay? We call that grace. Okay? Grace. Amazing grace. Nothing will soften your heart like the knowledge of your own sin and the fact that God still loves you. Okay? He keeps us alive. Do you know that everything you eat has died? The cow died for the burger. The vegetables died. They got hacked. Oh, it was wicked. A knife cut their heads off. Ah! The corn screamed in pain. Ah! Everything we take into our body has died a miserable, horrible death. Okay? Even the powder stuff comes from organic material. Okay? You don't eat. I know they got synthetic oil, but if you live on that, you're going to die. Okay? Yeah, we need life to keep us alive. Spiritually, it's the same way. We live because He suffered and died. Okay? You can't force yourself to love God if you don't understand how much He loves you. Okay? Psalm 63. Because your love is better than life. Look at that. What a line there, eh? In the context of what we're talking about. Thy loving kindness is better than life. You know, I used to sing that as a kid, you know? The meeting never knocked me out like it did when I read that there. Your love is better than life. In other words, if I could find out how much He loves me, if I could really get that, and if I love, it's going to be better than life. Life. The best that life can offer. My lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live, and in Your name I will lift up my hands. Look at this. It gets even more graphic. I will be fully satisfied with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise You. If I could just, you know, that's it. That's it. That's it. There isn't it. And there it is. Okay? 1 John 3:1-3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. What does Matthew 5:8 said? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Cheech and Chong said you see God by playing a Black Sabbath album backwards. You know, no, okay? There's all sorts of dumb, stupid things out there. Oh yeah, experience God. You're going to get the ultimate thrill here. It's found in one place. Close your eyes. Love God. Know God. Okay? Love God. Know God. We've got a lot of slogans in this church, you know? Church has left the building, you know? People don't care what you know. They want to know what you care. Love God, know God. There's another one. Okay? Love God. Because that's what we're all about. Love God, know God. There's no better pursuit. Why do we work hard to build the kingdom of God? Not because we want a big, successful church. Not because we're making a name for ourselves. Because we love God. Oh, I hope nobody is pursuing. I mean, we need as much help as we can get. But please, I hope that you're pouring your life into others because you love God. And you know how much God loves you. In the name of Jesus, God, do Your work in us, Lord God. all I did was preach, Lord. You got to do the heavy lifting now. You got to do the work, God. It's just words without your life, Lord God. 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 God, I believe with all my heart, there's not one person in this room. Great people here, Lord. They love you. I get that. But Lord, I don't think there's one person in this room that really, really loves you as much as you can be loved. And I don't think there's anybody in this room that really is experiencing how much you love them. And if there was a pecking order of who was at the top, Lord, they'd still be falling so short and you'd be saying, oh, I've got so much more love to reveal to them. So much more. God, we want that in our lives. It's the best motivation. It's the best gift. It is it. It is everything, Lord. Nobody looking around. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never invited Him in as Lord and Savior. And you might be visiting here. I don't know everybody in the room today. And nobody's going to embarrass you or center you out. But I don't talk like this ever on a Sunday morning without giving people an opportunity to receive Christ into their life. You may have gone to church all your life, but you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've done it before, I'm not talking to you. But if you've never done that before, I want you to raise your hand up real quick and put it right back down. Okay? And before you leave this room, I'll get to you and you and I will pray together. Okay? Not going to center you out or anything like that, but if you want to, that's where it starts right there. There's nothing until that starts right there. And that's a step of faith. That's a step of, okay, I'm going to give this a run. I'm going to trust this. I'm going to go for it. Okay? Just give it about 3 to 5 seconds. And then I'm going to continue with the direction we were going. Pray. God. 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 It's not a guilt trip. You know that, Lord. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to a better relationship with you. It's an invitation to more life. It's an invitation, God, to prevent burnout. It's an invitation for better marriages, better careers, better neighborhoods, better families, better conversations, better priorities, God. God, I can't make it any plainer. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, Lord, Lord, reveal it in our lives. Open our eyes. God, your word says that people that don't know you, they can see, but they have ears, but they can't hear, and they got eyes that can't see. Don't let that be us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's more for us to discover in your word. There's more to discover, Lord God, in yielding to you and trusting to you. God, thank you, Lord God. Probably the best prayer we can pray is, God, help me pray. Show me how to pray. God, show me you. Help me. Help me. God, God. You're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, Lord God. God, make it a reality in my life. I'm kind of holding you hostage here. It's way too long a prayer. Forgive me. Okay? I haven't lost it here. I'm aware of the time. Your eyes are closed, okay? And after what you've heard this morning, and again, I'm not going to center you out or anything like that, but if you'd say, John, I want that in my life. I mean, I'm here. Obviously, but yeah, John. And don't raise your hand yet. But you'd say to God, God, as a witness before John, and here, this is my signal to you to open up my heart and my life for that to happen. Now, don't raise your hand, because I'm telling you, sometimes God reveals how much He loves you through some radical suffering, crazy stuff sometimes. Sometimes the love of God and the wonder of Jesus is revealed in no other way than to go through the fire. Okay? But He promised in this world you'd have trouble. But I'll tell you, if God's going to do His work, it's worth whatever you yield to Him. And no man has given up lands or family or whatever. And I know there's faith teachers that have gone and just perverted this word, but it's still the word of God. Nobody has yielded that stuff to God that hasn't been rewarded 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Okay? John, I want that in my life. I want to love God like that. Man, I want to love God like that. And I would like Him to do that work in me. I want that work done in me. I want to surrender to God like that. Okay? Real quickly, hand up and right back down again. Okay? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of room for Him to work. A lot of room for Him to work. And those of you that raised your hands, I want you to know about 60 to 70% of this room did not raise their hands, okay? And the only way they're going to have that kind of hunger is if you love them and if they see the power of God displayed in you That's the best way people get hungry for God, by being around people that are just, you know, no eloquence, no sermons, no wisdom, just straight ahead love. You ready to go home? You ready to have the kids come out here and terrorize the place? And you ready to go hug somebody? Go get some water? Or somebody leave their lights on? Okay, thank you. We need somebody who needs a lift home, okay? If you can give a ride home to in the Meadowlands area, let me know, okay? Otherwise, go do what God's called you to do. And if He hasn't called you to, He has called. Just listen. God bless you. I'm turning the microphone off now. There you go.